respect for OPEC.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The cartel of oil-producing countries is having a Rodney Dangerfield moment. This week, OPEC said it would cut production by 1 million barrels to prop up the price of oil. And what happened? Oil prices dropped to their lowest level in almost a year. This morning, they're at $58 a barrel. Nancy Marshall-Genzer tells us how OPEC might get its mojo back.
It's been 2 years since the cartel last trimmed output to drive up prices. But Robert Bryce of Energy Tribune newsletter says if the price of a barrel of oil goes too low, OPEC will probably try to get serious about cuts.
If prices continue to fall toward $50, I would expect them to have another meeting and say, look, we've really got to act like a cartel.
A lot depends on Saudi Arabia, and it's holding its cards close to its vest. Barbara Shook of Energy Intelligence Group is paying close attention to what she calls the geopolitical premium of Iran's nuclear brinksmanship.
That's a geopolitical premium, and I've seen different estimates of that as anywhere from $20 to $30 per barrel.
Shook and other analysts are sure of one thing. Oil prices will continue to be volatile through the winter. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Microlending is kind of a grassroots way to get at poverty. You give people in very poor countries small loans. I mean small, 50, 100, 200 bucks. And the hope is that these people can get their own business off the ground, making crafts or farming a plot of land. Today, the idea of microlending is worthy of the Nobel Peace Prize. Bangladesh's Grameen Bank and its founder, Muhammad Yunus, will share this year's prize. Yunus started his bank 30 years ago. Since then, he's helped millions of people launch or expand their own small business. Some glowing third-quarter earnings reports pushed the Dow closer to the 12,000 mark. It climbed 0.8% to 11,947, another closing record. The Nasdaq put on twice as much, 1.2%. The S&P 500 gained 1%. Japan's Nikkei rose 1%. It's Friday the 13th, so maybe it's time to start thinking about Halloween. You know who just loves Halloween? Hollywood. Rachel Dornhelm reports.
Forget boo. Yar is the Halloween cry this fall, thanks to Disney's Pirates of the Caribbean. Other top costumes also owe a nod to Hollywood. The season's most popular outfits include Superman, Curious George, and V for Vendetta. Mark Workman is with the entertainment marketing firm First Fireworks. He says Halloween is a big deal because of merchandising revenue.
But secondly, it's a big deal, especially when you look at summer movies, because the costumes are a big indicator of kind of helping the DVD sales.
Costume sales are expected to hit $1.8 billion this Halloween. Workman adds a costumed holiday is the perfect fit for Hollywood, an industry that makes its money bringing viewers into fantasy worlds. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
And you're listening to Marketplace. It's Friday. Time once again for the job files. Just take a whiff.
My name is Alexandra Balahudis. I'm a botanical perfumer and I'm 31 years old. I basically wake up in the morning, I go to my laboratory. I always wear a cashmere wool sweater so that I can cleanse my palate by smelling wool in between smelling things and formulating things. We use organic, pesticide-free essences. These synthetic perfumes are just it's like the worst of both worlds. They're incredibly powerful, but they're not detailed. They're not nuanced. Your inspirations for a perfume definitely vary. The process is not the same each time. Sometimes it's a thought or an idea that is completely separate from aroma or flavor, like a Greek myth or a person.
Klaus Andresen produced today's job file. The Marketplace Morning Report is produced by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Fellows. Millions of businesses worldwide choose Fellows shredders for their shredding needs. Fellows, the bulldog of shredders. More at Fellows.com. By Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by The Economist Magazine, which not only tells what's happening each week, but why. The Economist, at newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. This year, farmers in southwest China suffered their worst drought in 50 years. Two-thirds of the rivers have dried up. 18 million people are short of drinking water. Finally, this month, the rains have returned, but it's too late for the crops. More now from Jocelyn Ford.
Farmers who've lost their crops and can't put food on the table are likely to end up in crowded, noisy places like this. About 1,000 laborers mill around in a large, empty room. They're waiting for potential employers to show up. It's called a labor market. It's the Chinese version of an employment agency, except there aren't a lot of rules. Contracts are verbal promises. Employers are not penalized for ignoring minimum wage. Some job seekers sit on the floor with signs advertising their skills. Cook, construction worker, housemaid. When I walk in, I'm mobbed by people shouting out their skills and calling me boss. They think a Westerner will offer a premium salary, maybe even a job in Los Angeles. Or Losanji, as they say in Chinese. 34-year-old farmer Li Yongshou stands quietly in a corner. It's her first day at the labor market, and she's lost in a sea of competitors.
I lost two-thirds of my corn and half our rice. We won't be able to make it through the winter if I don't get a paying job.
Most of China's 700 million farmers grow only enough to feed their families and perhaps sell a pig to pay for school fees, electricity, medicine. There's no crop insurance in China, and China has no safety net. The government's only handout to drought victims was a free train ticket, good for a 70-hour ride to the far west to pick the cotton fields. About 100,000 farmers participated. World Bank Development Officer Sari Soderstrom says the train ticket may not be enough.
It's not many years ago that many of these farmers had several months of food deficit. So if it doesn't rain now and they miss this crop, a lot of the vulnerable people are going to fall below the subsistence level again.
That sort of financial crisis could also pull down the next generation.
It will impact children that might be sent to good boarding high schools. It might impact a younger brother that was supposed to be sent off to college if he made the entrance exams.
At the labor market, Li Yongshou isn't thinking so far in the future. She figures she can make $60 a month washing dishes. That'll be enough money to keep her children in school. To get a more secure job that pays minimum wage, she'd have to pay a fee to register at a government agency. But she figures no one would hire her because she only graduated from junior high. In Chongqing, I'm Jocelyn Ford for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
You've got funny movies, scary ones. With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.